dick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy International Women's Day. We just want to welcome back Alex Plant again, who's leading us in worship this morning. A few reminders for announcements for Holy Week, Monday, Thursday, for the dinner is at 5 o'clock. That's April the 2nd is the Thursday. There's a sign-up sheet on the table at the back, because there's an additional sign-up sheet on the flip chart for next Sunday. The choir is hosting their St. Patrick's Day lunch, so there's two places to sign up there. Kids Community Kitchen, this month we're collecting individually packaged cookies, which will be collected on April 5th, Easter Sunday. The choir will be at Glen Storton Lodge this afternoon at 2, if anybody wants to join. The Spring Blue Heart and Craft Show is Saturday, May 2nd. We're still looking if anyone knows any vendors. Rummage Sale, April 25th. And the Spring Coffee Challenge. So for the months of March and April, if you want to drop any spare change or bills in the coffee cup at the back, we're going to try and beat last year what we raised, $214.08.
Well, I'm never, oh dear, I'm never prepared, so pardon me for doing this quickly. Not that I see many here that this will impact, but I'm going to be away for March break, so there won't be Sunday school. Next Sunday, the 15th and the 22nd, I'll be making sure to contact the families. But if you see anybody or you know anybody who might be thinking about coming, just to know that there won't be any, okay? Thank you.
That's okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship here at Knox St. Paul's United Church. It is an honor and a blessing to lead you in worship this morning. For those of you who are new or visiting Knox St. Paul's, we have slides throughout the service, some of which contain verbal responses. We will be inviting you to join in the responses, and they will be indicated by block letters that you will see on the screens. And as we gather on this day of worship, we pause to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for and connection to the earth and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, reconciliation, and peace in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities.
Just fear and worry, for seeds are vain.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. If you need good news, settle into this space. We have good news to share. If you need a word of hope or a glimmer of joy, then trust us when we say, there is resilient joy, abounding and hope for all. If you need to feel God's presence in your midst, this is the good news of the gospel. God is here. Love is real. This is God's house, where joy is on the move. Let us worship God. And as we gather this day for worship, we take this time to proclaim our vision and mission for the community that we are a part of. We are partners, participants in the work of God. Together, we are committed to helping build a city where no one journeys alone. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we have gathered here today to hear the good news. The good news is that you are the source of all that sustains us. You show us compassion, embracing us when we call for mercy, and guiding us through anxious times. You are wisdom, revealing the truth in times of doubt. You bless us with your presence day by day. Now we turn to you in worship as Creator, Christ, and Spirit, offering you our love, our loyalty, and our praise for your divine goodness. We give thanks for your most precious name. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 220 from Voices United, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. The words will appear before you on the screen. Let us join our hearts and voices together as we say the prayer of confession as it appears on the screen. Let us pray. Holy God, with you the impossible is possible. 5,000 can be fed, the blind can see, the hopeless can find hope, yet we are quick to forget your miraculous work. We look at our hurting world and tell ourselves that nothing can be done. We forget that you empowered the disciples to feed the crowd. We forget that you are always with us. Forgive our small-minded ways. Forgive us for doubting that change would ever come. But even more so, forgive us when we refuse to be a part of it. With hope for a better tomorrow, we pray. Amen. Let us be assured, no matter how many mistakes the disciples made, Jesus still washed their feet, he still fed them, and he still called them beloved. The same is true for all of us today. So hear and believe the good news. Today is a new day, and we belong to God. We are forgiven, called to be God's people, much like how we are called to help build a city where no one journeys alone. We too are not alone. This is the good news. Amen. Our next hymn is number 356 from Voices United, Seek Ye First the Kingdom. We will sing verses 1 and 2, then we will have a moment for the time for the young at heart, and then we will conclude with verse 3. Anybody tell me what this is? It looks like a granola bar or a snack bar. Particularly this one is a sweet and salty peanut bar from Great Value brand from Walmart, which is not a sponsor, by the way. But it is a representation of, it literally is, food. I could open this right now and start eating it, but that would be a little rude, so I won't. But instead, I would like to ask you all a question. Do you think that I could feed every single person in this room with this, and only this? If you get into small enough pieces, maybe. But to the point where they're all fully fed? No. Because that would be a little bit impossible, right? We as human beings can eat quite a bit, depending on who we are. One of the great things that I love, genuinely love, about this congregation is your work that you do for the Kids Community Kitchen. Every month, you are asked to help support a program that feeds hungry children here in Cornwall so that they can go to school with a full stomach, so they can have access to education and be able to grow and learn and pursue all kinds of dreams and all kinds of different subjects that they may love to learn or they may not love to learn. Do you think I could feed all of the kids in Cornwall with this single bar? No. But what would happen if all of us brought, maybe not a bar, but a box of bars? Do you think maybe that would go a little bit further? Right? And this morning's focus lesson is a classic. The disciples and Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Not something that you can feed 5,000 people with if you work any number of events here in town with thousands of tourists coming in. You see all the food trucks, and sometimes they run out of food. even if they prepare for the numbers. And what Jesus did with the disciples to feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish was a miracle. Because after distributing all the food, they had 12 baskets of leftovers, which is mind-boggling to see so much food left over after feeding 5,000 people. That's the equivalent of 10% of the city, which is no small number. And so as you reflect on today's focus lesson, the miracles of what we can do as a community working through God and our faith community here at Knox St. Paul's, we can take this single bar and working together, we can feed 5,000 people. So as we worship today, let us keep that in our minds, that even if it's not a physical duplication right before our eyes, the miracle of God's work runs through this place. And it's important to remember and important to support that. Let us conclude our hymn 356, singing verse 3.
For illumination. Holy God, we could press our ears to the pages of Scripture, hoping to hear you more clearly. We could silence our alarms, hoping to catch a whisper of your voice. We could still our beating hearts, and still we would miss your voice. As we gather this day, we pray that you open up our hearts, our spirits, and our minds to feel your presence among us. With you, anything is possible. Speak to us, we pray. Amen. And the focus lesson today is Mark chapter 6, verses 32 to 44. As they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves, not many saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away, and they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they went and found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us.
I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey
O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, now and always. Amen. The good news is God makes the impossible possible. I am so thrilled by that good news because trying to make the impossible possible isn't easy, as if anybody could have guessed that. But of course, it depends on one's definition of impossible. There are some things that, for the moment, are most certainly not possible. Things like breaking the laws of physics, or being in two places at the same time. Those are physically beyond our abilities. And of course, there are countless examples of impossibilities throughout history. People thought we would never fly in the air or land on the moon. Diseases that were once incurable now have easily accessible treatments. And we never thought that instant communication would be possible. And now, through the wonders of technology, we are capable of speaking to almost anybody in the whole world at an instant. So many people believed that these were impossibilities, until someone worked hard enough to make those things possible. They were inspired and skilled, capable of contributing to great ideas, all driven by our naturally gifted curiosity and desire for advancement. Jesus knows what impossible truly looks like. His time with us on earth was filled with miracles and precious moments that served as a testament to God's goodness. Jesus did more than just healing and teaching. He made the impossible possible. He allowed his disciples to heal and teach in his name. And it's one thing for Jesus to do those things. After all, he is fully human and fully divine. But to have his disciples healing the sick, casting out demons, these people are mere human beings with no divine powers or special abilities. And yet they were still able to teach the people about the good news. That seems like an impossibility. Yet we see that Jesus equipped the disciples to make the impossible possible. And so too does Jesus equip us. When we engage in our mission and vision, we aren't simply sending thoughts and prayers. Our work in the community helps many people, and it's important to remember that. Sometimes when we engage with the community, it can feel like an uphill battle, trying to reach out to the poor and the disadvantaged. And sometimes it doesn't go as smoothly as we thought it would. Sometimes we face resistance or concerns rooted in fear and confusion. And even amongst ourselves, sometimes it feels overwhelming, especially when we undertake tasks alone or without the right tools. And like most faith communities, we have our own struggles, ideas that don't get fully developed, or initiatives that aren't as successful as we hoped they would have been. Today's focus lesson is an important reminder of the world that we live in. More and more people are in need of help. More and more people are turning to desperate isolationism and self-reliance, because the communities that once supported them are turning away. Governments are facing increasing pressures as the world seems to engage in more violent actions. Large corporations continue to put shareholders and profits over people and better quality of life, all while the cost of living continues to go up and up. Jesus' disciples went out to the villages to work in his name, bringing God's love to everyone they encountered. And after a time of teaching and healing, they planned on going to a deserted place for some much-needed rest, away from the chaos. And despite their intention to rest, the crowd saw them and followed them to that deserted place. They needed Jesus. They were like lost sheep without a shepherd. And much to the annoyance of the disciples, who I'm sure were physically and mentally exhausted after having to deal with so many people's needs, Jesus had compassion for the crowd, and he began teaching. And I can only imagine what the disciples were feeling at that moment. Oh, there he goes again. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop teaching. He doesn't stop healing. We spent like 2-3 months, however long it was, healing and teaching and helping the sick and curing the poor. Helping the poor and curing the sick. See? They were probably speaking like that too. All jumbled up. They wanted to rest. It's not an outrageous request, especially if you're working so hard. And on top of all that, they learned about the death of John the Baptist, a very close friend of theirs. They thought that once they got to this deserted place, their work would be done, and that they could finally rest after a hard day's work. And we don't know if they were helping Jesus as he taught, or if they just simply rested by the sidelines, watching him teach. But we do see them getting irritated by the lingering crowd. The disciples just wanted a moment alone, a time to pause and reflect. And of course, on its own, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's important to take appropriate time to rest and to heal and to pray, especially when facing moments of chaos. But the disciples failed to see what was happening in front of them. There they were, these lost sheep, crying out for mercy, for compassion, a cry that Jesus answered. As a community of faith, we are bombarded by cries for relief, whether it's cries heard around the world or in our own backyard. We see the pain and suffering that many people go through. And we are so incredibly blessed to have this faith community together. I see before me a group of brothers and sisters committed to the work, to the mission and vision of helping build a city where no one journeys alone. That task, that mission and vision is at the core of who we are as a faith community. We are not simply individuals trying to make a better world. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. We are rooted in his good work, reflecting the compassion that God has for all creation. This world is lovingly crafted, filled with wonderful and seemingly impossible things. Humans have been inspired to create art, technology, and engage in deep critical thinking. We are driven by curiosity and a desire to learn and grow. And yet sometimes our human failings overtake that desire. And sometimes we are driven by greed and fear, whether by outside forces trying to exploit others or encountering uncomfortable or unknown situations. That greed and fear has had a devastating effect on our community and ourselves. When we are faced with stubbornness and selfish attitudes, it seems like trying to reason with those that feel lost and confused is impossible. Because no matter how many times we try to explain something or how many ways we try to help, sometimes it feels like helping to build a city where no one journeys alone is an impossible task. Building a city, let alone one that leaves no one alone, is incredibly difficult. Supporting a community takes time and dedication. And sometimes it feels like an unending mission. We live in a world where fear and greed drives us apart. And even as we undertake the work of Christ, we hear objecting voices and overwhelmed people being driven by emotional impulses. So many of us, whether here or out in our community, are facing challenges that tempt us to turn away from one another, to turn to self-reliance, rather than staying united in Christ. Much like the disciples having to feed 5,000 people while being physically and mentally drained, we too are facing overwhelming situations. Let us remember not to give into the temptation of fear or selfish attitudes. Let us reject individual gratification, for it leads down a path of destruction. Jesus has laid out a path for us to follow. and it is a difficult one. It would be so much easier to just stay in this room, worship God, and call it a day. Away from those who are marginalized, those that are suffering, the poor, the vulnerable. But we aren't called for that way of life. We are here because we are committed to our Christian faith. Indeed, we are called to do the impossible. When our community cries out in pain and suffering, we answer that call. There's no if, maybe, but, however. No. We answer that call. When our neighbors are trapped in fear and confusion, we are called to liberate them with compassion, understanding, and a little bit of patience, which I know is in short supply these days. When we find ourselves in conflict, we must seek ways to end it peacefully and meaningfully. With all the conflict and suffering around the world, especially now, it feels like it's impossible to make a meaningful impact, whether here in Cornwall or anywhere around the world. When our offerings are rejected, or when we face hostility, we are tempted to step back and walk away. But here is the good news. With God, the impossible becomes possible. When we live up to our namesake, the United Church of Canada, when we gather together in this faith community, whether in this room or out in the community, we stand firm in our commitment to Christ, working to engage one another and the community with the love of God. This faith community engages in good work, whether it's the kids' community kitchen, taking part in Pride, feeding the hungry at the Agape Center during holidays, or even something as simple as showing kindness. We work to make the impossible possible, and it is all thanks to God, who has placed us in this position. God has blessed all of us, yes, that means you, with talents, resources, and a desire to reach out to the community. Let us never lose sight of that. When we are faced with a seemingly impossible task, feeding 5,000 people or having to engage in any number of community projects, when we have to reach out to people who are difficult or people who are so desperately against what we do because they're scared or they have questions that aren't being answered, let us remember Jesus' instructions. You give them something to eat. Because the disciples asked Jesus to send them away, and Jesus is like, you're going to be the one to feed them. Rather than waiting for governments or corporations to come up with the answer to alleviating the suffering and exploitation of vulnerable people, you take the initiative. Collective you, not just individual you, but collective you. Instead of standing by and wondering who will care for the poor, why don't we care for the poor? What is stopping us from feeding the 5,000? We have a place to gather, we have resources to share, and we have the ability to organize ourselves and to distribute our work effectively. Let us take our commitment to the next level. Let us take on Jesus' instructions. You go and give them something to eat. When the disciples wanted the crowd to find their own way so they could rest, Jesus said, not now. Feed them yourself. And so too, when we are faced with an impossible situation, we're not going to say, sorry, we can't do it. We're going to take up the call that Jesus sets for us. Let's make the impossible possible. And remember that sometimes that work doesn't go exactly as we plan, I know that as human beings, we like to have very precise plans and very precise visions of what our community will look like. It's just who we are as people. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable or convenient. But when we commit ourselves to helping build a city where no one journeys alone, it becomes more than a statement to make ourselves feel better or to make us look good in the community. It's a commitment to Christ. And so let us go forth and allow God to work through this community to make the impossible possible, because when God works through us and we open ourselves to God's guidance and to his path, the good news is God makes the impossible possible. Amen. Let us sing hymn number 642 from Voices United, Be Thou My Vision. The words will appear before you on the screen. Take this moment in worship to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit that guides us in our worship. We are gathered here as a community of faith called to love and support one another in our joys and our struggles. Therefore, any of you who wish to share a moment where you felt God's presence, either here in this place or during the week, I invite you to come forward. Or you may take this time to allow yourself to live and breathe in this moment, to simply exist amongst creation and meditate on God's holy presence.
I'll try not to yell at you this time. Most of you, or many of you, may have heard these stories before, but I just feel compelled to repeat it because it just seems so meaningful. following Alex's reflection here. You know, many of you, that my husband and I have been foster parents. And I think particularly of a little guy where I was called to the hospital, and he was only to live for 2 days. He was born having had a bleed on his brain and no kidney function. And they expected him to succumb within a couple of days, and would I go and sit with him. Well, that was 4.5 years ago. And this little guy has been adopted by the most loving family. He still comes to see us once a week. In fact, my husband just took him home this morning. He certainly has some deficits, but this family just loves him without reservation. That doesn't happen if God doesn't intervene. And one of the other children we had is a little East Indian girl. And there's a long story behind it, and I won't go into it, but she was being sent back to her father in India. This little girl who was 2 years old and cried every time I left the room. And now I was going to have to put her in a car with a complete stranger to go to an airport and fly, I don't know how many miles it is to India, but it's a long way, a long flight. And that morning, I braced myself, and I took her out to the car and strapped her in. And she looked up at me and smiled, and she said, "See you." And the worker kept in touch with me throughout the whole trip, and she managed very, very well. I tell you, without hesitation, that is God's work.
Hi everyone, my name is Sophie, for those who don't know. What resonated with me this morning is making the impossible possible. I remember when I first entered this church, and I saw the pride flag, and I said, a pride flag in a church, that's impossible. I never thought that I could go to church and be able to heal my inner wounds that were given to me because of my sexual orientation. I was always told that I was going to go to hell and all that fun stuff. So when I came here and I was able to just be here and just be able to be sitting amongst all you people here and just feel the love and just be able to be present, I thought that was completely something that was impossible. I remember when there was a craft fair, and also there was I've been doing stuff with the rainbow colors for 25 years now, and I remember when Miss Ruta asked me to if I could bring my items that I create in the church. I remember telling my friends, I realized that I that day had scratched off something on my bucket list that was not even there. And I felt so extremely grateful. And I think that the message about all of us individually, we are all here for a reason. And I believe that when we come to church, each individual people are all super important, because if one is here, then that cheers up someone else, and then the other person is happy, and when one person is happy, it just brings us as a whole. And then when we are in the we, all of us, then we can so much share ideas and give out so much to the community as the church is doing. And I have been praying for all these seats since I came to have all these seats filled one day, to have all these people be able to feel safe in a church and come here. And I will continue to pray until this church is full, that those seats are full. So thank you for listening.
Just as Jesus gave himself to those who sought his mercy, so too we are called to give ourselves to the mission and vision of the church. We have been blessed with talents and resources, and as part of our commitment to helping build a city where no one journeys alone, let us take time to offer ourselves to God through our offerings and our prayers for the community. God, our Good Shepherd, receive these gifts and bless them with your love. Use them to bring light and healing to the world you love for the sake of Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Let us gather our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, many years ago, on a hillside in Galilee, you looked at your disciples and said, "You give them something to eat." We read these ancient words again and are struck with the realization that from the very beginning, you have seen good in us. From the very beginning, you have known that we are capable of great love. From the very beginning, you have believed that we could make a difference. Help us to see that truth in ourselves. Help us to see your fingerprints in our lives. Help us to see the ways that you have equipped us to serve. Help us to see the ways that we are capable instead of only seeing the ways we stumble and get in our own way. God, we long to see ourselves as you do, because we know that, like that day in Galilee, there is still work to do. Like that day on the hillside, this world is full of people who are hungry. Hungry for justice. Hungry for companionship. Hungry for reasons to hope. Like that day on the hillside, this world is full of people who need healing. Healing for their bodies, their minds, healing for broken relationships. And like that day on the hillside, there is surely enough to go around. But sometimes we doubt and deny that truth. So call us again, loving God. Say our names. Hand us the baskets of bread and fish. Tell us it's our turn. Help us to see ourselves in the way that you see us, for we know that together, through you, the impossible is possible. Until your promised day when we are all fed, when we are all healed and hunger is no more, we will continue to pray. In hope, we weave our voices together to pray the words that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Our closing hymn is number 635, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." The words will appear before you on the screen. As you leave this place, when you meet anger, speak with love. When you meet fear, speak with hope. When you meet pain, speak with gentleness. But no matter what, speak this good news. For the good news of the gospel is love and justice for all. Go forth and live out the good news. Thanks be to God for this good, good news. Amen.
Gordon this afternoon, about 1:45, so we can sing. Yeah, we'll pick.